The Gemara Masechta Yuma Daf Mem Gimel Amud Aleph, in explaining the psukim regarding the avoid of the Parah Adumah, the parish of the Parah Adumah, says Tanan Hossam, the Mishnah Masechta Parah teaches us Hakol Ksherim Lekadesh. Everybody is eligible to put the water, the Mayim Chayim, on the ash of the Parah Adumah that's in the Keli. Chutz Mecher Shoyt V'Katan. Aside from Mecher Shoyt V'Katan, that is the opinion of the Chachamim. Rabbi Yehuda Mach Shebekatan. Rabbi Yehuda says that a katan may put on that, may put the water on the Efer. However, Upoisel B'Ishu B'Androgynous. They hold that an Ishu and an Androgynous. An androgynous is someone who has both the simonim of a male and a female. So as the Rishonim explain, he therefore may be a female. And if the shita of Rabbi Yehuda is that a isha is possible, we could understand why he would hold that androgynous is possible as well. Points out Tosfos that even though Rabbi Yehuda is Makel, and he says that a cotton can be the one to put on the Mayim in the on the Afer. Even Rabbi Yehuda agrees that a cotton, a cherish, and a shoita may not. And the Gemara continues, my time of the Rabbanim. What's the reason of the Rabbanim? The Ksiv v'loch chulatame mi'afas sreifas achatos. And the Pasuk, this Pasuk appears after the Pasuk says, V'osif ish tor es Efer Apara. The Kiddush of the Efer Apara is an avoida that's done after the Efer is collected. So the Pasuk is saying, V'lochu, that the people who are the ones that collect the Efer Apara, they are also the ones to meet Mekadosh the Efer, given that the Torah uses the Lachu, the Lashon Rabbim. Hanach the Plasloch, the people that are ineligible to do the Asifa, Chereshayt v'Katan, Plasloch b'Kiddush. The Hanach, on the other hand, the Achshiloch, that are qualified to do the Asifa, Achshiloch are also kosher for the Kiddush. Continues the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda, that says that a cotton may do the Kiddush, an Isha may not. What's his reason? Says the Gemara, Imkein Leim Akra, it should have said V'lokach. The fact that the Torah says V'lochu, the Fil Katl, the Pasla Chosam, the Torah is coming to add that even somebody who was till now disqualified, meaning a cotton, is Hacha. As far as the Kiddush is concerned, kosher who, he's kosher. Without going further in the Gemara, it's not really the purpose of our shir. As we said, it is the opinion of Tosfos that even though Rabbi Yehuda holds that a cotton is kosher, he agrees that a cherish v'shoita on that. And the reason that we can understand what Tosfos is teaching us is really connected to a Gemara in Masechta Shabbos. The Gemara in Masechta Shabbos, Daf Kuf Nun Gimel Amud Beis, discusses the situation of somebody is walking on the road Friday afternoon and it becomes Shabbos and he realizes that he has with him something, a wallet, that he can't just leave on the street. And he's walking with a cherish and a cotton. Both of them are obviously not mechuyiv a mitzvah. And the question is, who should he ask to watch that wallet? The Gemara says, on one hand we could suggest he should ask the cherish. Because as Tosfos says over here, the cotton is an individual who will reach mental maturity. A cherish is what he is. Or, on the other hand, if we're going to allow him to give it to the Cheresh, we need to be concerned that maybe the Cheresh, who's an individual who can't hear or speak, can easily be confused with an adult. And people will say that you can ask even an adult to carry the wallet. Whereas a katan, no one will get confused to think that a katan has the same din as a gadol. So we look in the Shulchan Aruch Arachayim, Simen Reish Samach Vav Sifhei. So the Shulchan Aruch says very clearly that if you're walking with a cheresh shoyt of a katan, certainly give it to the shoyta. What about if you're walking with a cheresh and a katan? The Shulchan Aruch says, Yitnu l'mi sheyirtza. Give it even to whoever you want. Says the Gevura Sari. Rabbi Yehuda, that is saying over here that a katan is different than a cheresh v'shoyta, especially is specifically over here, but in all other areas of halacha, it could well be that the cheresh v'shkatan are treated equally. Which really opens itself up to an interesting question. As we said a moment ago, throughout halacha, a cheresh, a shaita, is considered a person who has no das, as far as halacha is concerned, has no intellect. So too is the status of a katan, and so too is the status of a cheresh. But we really need to understand what is the disqualification of a cheresh, which will have very significant halachic ramifications. I saw a machloikus rishonim in this gemara. What would be the halacha if you have a cheresh, or you have a shoita, or according to the opinion of, or according to the opinion that even a katan is disqualified, and you'll have a gadol oimer agabav, according to the Rabbanim, or according to Yehuda, by cheresh v'shoita. So you don't, will that change? And the way to understand the question is really to understand when the Torah says a cheresh shoyt of a katan are disqualified, is it an inherent disqualification that these people are excluded no matter what? Or is it that the Torah considers that they don't have enough das, and since they don't have enough das, that's why their actions are not considered halachically valid actions? But if that's the case, if there will be a situation, for example, the example that we just gave, Gadol Oimer Al Gabov, so given that these people are not inherently disqualified, maybe we combine the das of the Gadol with their standing and with their action, then the activity would not be completely excluded. So we begin a discussion of how does the halacha look at a cheresh shoyt of a katan. And of course, it's very important to point out that whenever the halacha says, whenever the halacha speaks about a cheresh shoyt of a katan, we speak about an individual who's a deaf mute. He can't speak, nor can he hear. A person who is an individual that can hear or speak, he's not the cheresh that is referred to in throughout Shas. So what would be the halacha if you'll have an individual that could hear only with a hearing aid? He could only hear with a hearing aid. And what will be the halacha regarding such an individual? Such an individual, is his hearing considered a hearing or not? The Pri Chodosh and Evan Ho'ezer, Simen Kuf Chof Aleph Sif Vav, quotes the opinion of the Rosh that says that a cheresh that hears only when they speak to him in a loud voice, but if you speak to him loudly, he can hear, he's not considered a cheresh. And says the Pri Chodesh, it doesn't necessarily mean that you have to speak to him loudly. Even if he speaks about a mincha tzaytris, that probably was the first type of hearing aid, he's already not considered a cheresh. And so too does the Hilchos Ketanis say that a person that could only hear through some sort of a hearing aid is considered a person who could hear and is mechuyev in Kiyas Shofa. And therefore, I saw Rav Moshe and the Shalos HaTshuvos Igros Moshe, Ohr HaChaim, Chelek Beis, Simen Kuf Ches, takes the opinion that even if we'll say that what happens through a hearing aid is that the voices, the sound waves, are transferred into some other electronical form, and then they're again transferred that the person could hear, says Rav Moshe that that isn't a disqualification, that it shouldn't be considered that he heard. Rav Moshe says a very nice svara. There Rav Moshe speaking about hearing brachas, or hearing the Megillah, or hearing Havdalah through a microphone, through a telephone. He says that it could very well be, and I think it is in fact the case, that whenever we hear somebody saying something to us, that's what our ear does. They transfer that voice into different airwaves. So what's the difference if it's done through our ears or it's done through an electronical piece of equipment, a microphone or a telephone? So Rav Moshe seems to be makel. Rav Moshe's makel regarding hearing Megillah. Rav Moshe's makel regarding hearing Havdalah through a telephone. But it's interesting, Rav Moshe in that tshuva does say, "Bikamakim kiven shloy bar laheter." I can't be 100% sure that it's mutter. For who inyan chodesh bechlal? It's a new way of hearing something you're supposed to hear. Yesh limchais. He says, if possible, it should be avoided. Kidei lomnam lemoinam milirdof achri chadoshes acheres. Once we start allowing all sorts of innovations in halacha, there's no end to the slippery slope. Shluhutim b'medinas eila, people here are very anxious to accept new halachas. It's interesting, Rav Shlomo Zalman, who was very famous for being an expert in these types of shailas, in the shailas HaTshuvos, Mincha Shlomo, Chelek, Chaim Chelek Aleph, Simon Tess, Ois Aleph has a very technical discussion on how microphones work and hearing aids and telephones and regarding Kiyas Shofar or Megillah. And again, he says that you don't hear the exact sound emanating from the person who's speaking or blowing the shofar. It's a new sound that's created through this hearing aid. But he interestingly quotes, and he takes a very strict approach to the Shaila, but he says that after he wrote this piece, this mimer, he had the opportunity to speak with the Chazon Ish about the Shaila, and he says that the Chazon Ish wasn't so ready to be machmer. He says the Chazon Ish's approach was that since the voice, since the sound is being created by a human being, he says, then the fact that it's being transferred at a certain point to the hearing aid, microphone, telephone, it doesn't mean that you didn't hear it from the person who said it. And therefore, he takes the approach that you should, that it may be according to Chazon Ish mutter. The best Eitzah, if possible, is what the stipler, Zichron Levracha, did. That if somebody has hearing issues, he should stand right next to the Baal Kaira. That was the minig of the stipler. He would stand right next to the Baal Kaira as he would lay to make sure that he didn't have to rely on a hearing aid to hear, hearing device to hear the laying. However, in a situation where it's not really the hearing aid that's making the person have the ability to hear, what is happening is that he has a hearing aid, and that hearing aid, the person is deaf. The hearing aid doesn't make him be able to hear nothing more than sounds emanating from the person. And once he hears sounds emanating from the speaker, at that point, he lip reads. He reads the lips of the person who's speaking. And like that, he hears what he's saying. So now, his hearing is not really based on his ears. He's really using a different sense. He's in this case using his eyesight to hear. So what's happening is the speaking is no more than just triggering that he should lip read what is being said. So the Paiskim say that is not considered a Shomeya. The definition of a Shomeya is somebody who hears with his ears. There's a very famous Gemara in Masecht Brachos, Daf Tez Vav Amud Aleph. The Gemara says, "Hakoreh Shema v'lo yishmia l'oznoi yotza." Rabbi Yosi Omer lo yotza. And the Gemara explains, "My Talmud Rabbi Yosi, what does Rabbi Yosi indeed hold that if somebody didn't hear the Kriya Shema, he's not yotza? So in the Ksiv Shema hashnei l'oznecha mashata moitz mipicha." So from here, we see that the definition of Shomeya is Hashmei L'oznecha. And therefore, Rav Moshe, also in the Shas HaTshuvos Igros Moshe, Evan Ezer, Chela Gimel, Simon Lamed Gimel, agrees that such an individual who doesn't hear, that won't hear, he's relying on reading lips, can, even though he does hear sound, but he doesn't hear the words, is not considered a Shomeya.